This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone. Back in May 2014, Time magazine released an issue with a striking cover. Laverne Cox, one of the stars of the then-new Netflix series Orange is the New Black, an openly transgender woman standing tall, proud, and defiant in a navy blue dress. Beside her, in all caps, the words, "The Transgender Tipping Point." For Sam Fader, director of the Netflix documentary Disclosure, it was a wonderful moment, sort of.
I was so keenly aware that when that cover story hit the newsstands, the trans people I knew were certainly not at a tipping point. I mean, just the murder of trans women alone, specifically Black trans women, had become an epidemic. And the rate of suicide among trans men had been surging. So I was excited about what Laverne would bring to the public conversation, but I was deeply concerned because whenever a marginalized community gets mainstream media attention, backlash ensues.
It's interesting you called the film Disclosure, and it certainly seems like the moment of revelation in which a supposedly cisgendered person reveals themselves to be trans is one of the media's most recurring themes when trans characters are centered. One of the most memorable moments in media of disclosures in the 1992 movie The Crying Game, in which the twist that a character turns out to be trans is the plot point on which the whole movie hinges.
Jesus, I feel sick.
I'm sorry. I thought you knew.
Do you remember when The Crying Game came out and all of the promotion around it, and it was all about don't tell the secret? And I remember reading somewhere that the producers were working so hard to make sure the press did not reveal that secret. Quite honestly, it's a beautiful film. It really did not need that plot, you know, to make it as successful of a film as it was.
Another recurring theme was the trans person as a psychopathic killer. Yeah. We see it way back in Hitchcock's Psycho when Tony Perkins dressed up as his mother and kills someone with a knife. You certainly famously see it in Silence of the Lambs in the character of Buffalo Bill.
Why does he place them there, Doctor?
The significance of the moth is change. Caterpillar into chrysalis. Our pupa, and from thence into beauty.
There's no correlation in the literature between transsexualism and violence. Transsexuals are very passive.
Clever girl. You're so close to the way you're going to catch him. Do you realize that?
If we're going to be allowed to actually exist, then we're crazy. Then we're killers. Then we're mentally ill.
Your film also digs into kind of trashy talk shows like Jerry Springer and Arsenio Hall.
Baby, I know it's hard for you to, like, understand because, you know.
So you're a man?
No, I'm not a man. I was born a boy.
Freak!
So I'm a freak now. So this is what it is? Won't you talk to me?
Freak!
You know what?
There's a line in the film when Jen Richards talks about specifically the talk shows and how distorted and painful and violent they are. But would she have known she was trans had she not seen these early images? And I think that speaks to the sort of ongoing question of visibility at any cost. You know, is it better to be seen and laughed at or to not be seen at all? And I think the talk shows really speak to that because for a very specific generation, my generation, you know, where I was born in the 70s and raised in the 80s and early 90s, that was my babysitter, right? Coming home and watching those talk shows. Those memories are so visceral.
Did you find any trans representations in the media that helped shape what kind of life you thought was possible?
No, and I think that's why I started making films.
I was intrigued by some of the moments of positive transgender representation. Bugs Bunny as a cross-dressing Valkyrie. Susan Stryker, the historian, said that that was very empowering for her.
When Bugs Bunny was doing Girl, Bugs Bunny was desirable and was powerful.
Oh, Brunhilde, you're so far away.
Yes, I know it. I can't help it.
I have to say, I've seen Disclosure so many times at this point, you know, but that is the one clip that always made me laugh. And then when I interviewed Lily Wachowski a few months later and she said the same thing, it was so sweet.
But you have noticed in the past 7 years, a less limited vision of trans personhood. We've had Pose, a series about ball culture in the 80s and the 90s.
We have a challenge for the legendary children of the House of Abundance.
We had Transparent.
Are you saying that you're going to start dressing up like a lady all the time?
No, honey, my whole life I've been dressing up like a man. This is me.
You know, when Transparent first came out, I just didn't understand why, you know, it had to be a cis guy. I understand money and you have to get it greenlit. And, you know, Jeffrey Tambor is a good actor. He did a good job, but there's so much trans talent who could have done that role just as well, if not better, and not, you know, sexually assault people on set.
Well, there's that.
And I think that's very real. And that's something we're very aware of, as any marginalized person understands what safety means. And when you see the sacrifices made for the bottom line to make money on your back, you know you're not going to be safe. And I mean, this was a large part why in making Disclosure, we prioritized hiring trans people. We wanted everyone behind the camera, as well as in front of the camera, as you see, but everyone behind the camera, we prioritized to be trans. And if we couldn't hire a trans person, we mentored one. If you're so excited about telling trans stories, you have to really think about it in a holistic way.
Is there something that you see particularly missing in how those characters are portrayed?
I want complicated stories. You know, the antidote to negativity, I do not believe, is positivity. I do not believe sterilized positive stories will make the world a better place. I think complicated, nuanced, you know, messy, that give a full picture of a trans person's life. You know, we do not need to shy away from the horrors because they're real, but we need to show them in a universe that also has love and community and, you know, the full experience of being human.
Laverne Cox makes a point about cancel culture being used as an excuse not to take up this issue because good liberals don't want to look like they don't get it.
Through the entire making of Disclosure, Laverne and I were very much on the same page. I think it's important that we're very critical of our cultural products and that people are held accountable to that critique. But I also think it's really important that people get second chances, that they're given the opportunity to learn and grow. You know, we used Oprah Winfrey as an example of that. You know, the film, we open up with some really problematic things she said on her shows.
How do you hide your peanuts?
And then we close the film with literally saying she's evolved. With someone like her, who's in such a position of cultural power, it's so important that we give people a chance to evolve. Not only when you're, you know, this mega star, but I think when we see a society that creates the room and resources for people to evolve and grow and be accountable, that we're going to live in a much better place.
What kind of impact do you think the film's had so far?
We immediately were hearing from people in positions of power talking about how they saw the film, an A-list celebrity like Ryan Reynolds or Tracee Ellis Ross saying that this has changed how they will see and make films. There was a press release about how Halle Berry was going to take on a role of a trans man, and then she or her team watched Disclosure and they walked away from the role. So it's become a tool to help the industry do better. And that's very exciting. Stuff I'm even more passionate about is hearing how a group of California judges used clips from Disclosure to educate themselves around the bias they might hold around trans people in their courtroom. You know, on our set, the second day we were shooting, our gaffer was so moved by our production model, and she happened to be a chapter president of her union, which is the largest tech union in the world. She went to her union and helped to institute the first trans sensitivity training, and that got copied across the country. So it's had a really vast impact, which, you know, is all of, especially a documentary filmmaker could ever hope for.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Sam Fader is director of the documentary Disclosure, available on Netflix. That's it for this week's show. On the Media is produced by Leah Feder, Micah Loewinger, John Hanrahan, Eloise Blondio, and Rebecca Clark Callender. This week we say goodbye to our beloved intern, Alex Hainsworth. Our technical director is Jennifer Munson. Our engineer this week was Adrian Lilly. Katya Rogers is our executive producer. On the Media is a production of WNYC Studios. I'm Brooke Gladstone.